Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the 2018 ICAST show, Bass University TV Live. We're back at you. Man, guess what? We've had some really interesting things transpire. All the winners of ICAST have been announced. All the rods, the reels. I think we're going to be talking about one of the winners right now.
You're a winner? Come on.
Hey, Bass University is a winner. Our students are always winners. But we got a champ with us right now, speaking of winners. We got Chad Grigsby, fresh off a Smash Fest win on Lake St. Clair. Good to have you here, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. I tell you what, and I know you appreciate this because you're a northern guy and smallmouth guy. It was. I'm still shaking my head about it.
That was the biggest slugfest that the sport of bass fishing has ever seen. I think.
Now I heard about this record thing. I heard about this record that's driving me crazy. Spy baiting record. I heard about that.
Yeah.
3-inch bait record. Ninety-seven. That's not a record.
You know what a record is?
Where do I go? Well, you know what a record is? A record is going to the bathroom 4 times a night. That's a record. Ask my wife.
Well, 5 times would beat that, then.
And a 3-inch little, you all know what that is, that 3-inch little. Let me show you something.
Is that the new one we got
for musky fishing? No, watch this.
That's a spy bait. That's a spy bait.
Look at that, baby.
I'm just going to tell you, this is spy bait.
That's what I want.
No, you don't get it. Musky spy bait.
That's awesome.
Something's wrong with this cat.
The medication's kicking in. Okay.
Well, we don't know who was here previously, but we have also David.
I think
Swinside.
David's back.
David's back. David's back from Duo Realis. Man, it's good to see you, man. Good to see you again. It's good to see you, Chad. And, man, what a deal. You know, I mean, almost breaking, you know, we were a little disappointed you didn't break 100 pounds, man.
Well, I tell you what, as long as 97.5 was enough to win, I'll take that big old check.
Oh, man, that was awesome. It was truly awesome. Like I said, it was a massive slugfest. And I remember we had Aaron Martins and you, and we talked about the spy bait. We talked about, is this going to be a factor? Is this, you know, what can this win? And a lot of things like that. And, man, we've seen it twice now that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Kevin did it, and now you did it.
Yeah.
With the spy bait. Does anybody else want
it? Well, you tell
Dobson,
you what.
Right, yes, Scott won. Greg Gutierrez.
That's right, Scott won.
But it's kind of like it's still one of those deals. Like I compared it to like when Chatterbait came out. Everyone's like, and then it's like, I better get me some Chatterbait.
That was me.
Everyone's winning. I'm not going to throw that thing. That's dumb.
That was me. I had the Chatterbait in my boat for 2 years before I made a cast with it.
Ugh. And you probably got beat 5 times on it during those 2 years.
The first time I threw it, I caught 60 bass. I still thought it was a Florida thing, and I never threw it again.
And this is the same deal. Like, big ones bite it.
Yep.
I was catching. You can go out and catch 3 to 3.5 to 4 pounders, but if you want the 5 to 6 class, this right here.
That's amazing.
And when the conditions are right. It was every cast. I don't know if you watched live, but I'd have a school and they couldn't not bite it.
That was amazing.
I mean, I had a 45-minute window where it was every cast.
Now I got to watch. I don't know. I got to watch you work a little bit. I didn't get to see it all, but the part that I did see that was cool to me is you talked about the conditions changing.
Yep.
And you were like, "This is now. I'm going to throw the spy bait."
Yep.
Now. I thought that was fascinating when it went slick.
Yep.
And talk to, I mean, our guys are hardcore anglers, you know. These details are the juice. When do you stop what you're doing pick up that spy bait and throw it?
And it took me, I've been throwing this thing for 1.5, 2 years. But last week is when I really figured it out. Like, when to throw it and how to count it down and, I could see the bait on the graph, and the bait was like from 6 to 10. So I'd get it below that bait, but you could see bass coming from the bottom on my graph. I got Garmin's, and it would shoot up, and you'd see the bass under the bait. And I'm like, well, that's the range they're going to be in, but they're coming from the bottom getting it.
Right.
But I don't want to be in the bait. I want to be below it. So I'd count down to 12, you know, right in that range.
That's a tight zone to try to hit.
And then just slowly wipe. And if you reel it too fast, it, you know, it kind of. But if you just get the right cadence and right, and I'm telling you what, it was magic. But another key is the rod I had. I had a 7.6 medium light. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys complain about losing them, and yeah, I get a lot of bites on it, but it's not even worth it because they jump and come off. Well, that's because you're probably throwing a 7-foot medium or medium heavy or medium light. It's got a really, I mean, the tip. I just let the bait do the work, and then when they get it, just lean into them and let them do their thing. And right. You saw, like, I would fight one for 5 minutes. I don't care. I got time. I got all day.
Yeah.
As long as I get him in. That's a fish I need, so just take your time. Don't horse them. They're not a largemouth. Smallmouth are mean.
Yeah.
And just let them do their thing. Mm-hmm. Let them fight around. Let the rod do the work. The bait already did its work because they bit it. Mm-hmm. And then just, when I get them in, they'd lay in the net. They wouldn't flop around. They're so tired. Put them in the bucket. Wow. Put them in the Ranger jacuzzi and bring them back to the way.
Did you have any mishaps? Did any get off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never thrown a bait that you don't lose something.
No, of course.
I flip a jig and you lose them on that. Like, yeah. I just jacked him.
Yeah.
But they come off.
Any heartbreakers that you thought would cost you?
Day three, and everyone's like, oh, poor you. I only had 21 something. They're like, oh, that's horrible. But I thought I blew it, you know.
Right.
Brad Knight had 25 something, but I lost four on a tube. And when you lean into them, you know if it's a good one. And they were the right ones, and I lost three on that. But I did catch a 5.9 on it. So
wow.
Even though I lost three more on it, but that didn't lose them. You lean into them and they just pull off.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't acting the same on day three. For whatever reason, they weren't getting it. Mm-hmm. They were slapping at it. You know, I probably lost them because they're running up and hitting it and got them in the side. Or, you know, the good ones, the final day, you'd be winding it real slow and your line would just go limp. And it'd be like, you know, he pushed it. He's got the whole thing. You just load him up and get him in and use that 7.6.
I love that phrase, pushed it. You see so much with a swim bait. You see it. And
your line just goes limp.
Yeah.
Like, I had tension on it. But it's like kind of like one of those deals where you're jig fishing or whatever, and you feel that thump. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite. You don't feel anything. And it's like, I'm ready. You know, you get excited.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the 7, I can see the 7.6, that extra half a foot of length making all the difference. Yep.
And especially in casting.
Especially making those bomb casts that you were probably
making.
That was key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because most of the bites were way off. You know, when you got around the boat, you wouldn't get a bite.
Gotcha.
On those big ones. You know, those fish are 20, 25 years old. They've been around the block. They've seen it, you know.
Yeah. Well, they didn't see this.
Yeah, this is something they haven't
seen.
This
is something
yet.
New.
And if you don't have this in your arsenal, you're missing out on 97 pounds of smallmouth.
Oh, man. Is that the color choice?
This is a new color. This is black.
IU.
Black IU, yeah. These are two new colors. I wish I had this one.
Yeah.
I was throwing Morning Dawn and Threadfin Shad and a couple different ones, but this one would have been really good.
Our goal, Pete, on, you know, we try to make these realistic patterns or these patterns that the fish can really kind of track and stay with. And so it's not just, we're not just slapping paint on them. I actually spent a year plus on this pattern here. So, you know, some baits may have one or two colors. This one, for example, has four different colors in it. And each color will kind of show itself at different parts of the depth and then also what light hits it. And there's actually a finish on here that helps change the bait in the sun as well. And this one has actually six different colors in that tiny little bait. So we spend a lot of time trying our best to create the right colorway for the fish. And we do that nationwide. I mean, we have, you know, Georgia right now is really hot. The spy baiting is going on really well, like at Lanier, those kind of places. Smith Lake in Alabama, it's been popping really hard. And in California, a lot of the southern lakes. But so each one of these regions, we spend time there, research what baits are there, what colors are actually just working. I mean, if it's just chartreuse that works in a San Diego lake, then we'll research that. So we do spend quite a bit of time in just color research.
It's so important. This is a site bait, right?
Right.
This isn't as much about vibration as it is about sight. So color's key on this deal. And something else that is key that you probably aren't aware of, and I'll make you aware of it now. Anything that touches the table stays on the table.
We were going to hook him up.
Hey, we know a guy.
Well, you're out there. You're seeing that bait. You're seeing the predators under the bait. You got to hit 12 foot.
Yep.
Now, talk to me about how many seconds, what kind of line, what kind of retrieve are you using to keep it at 12?
So it's kind of, it was a little painful, but the results are, it doesn't, you know, because it's like watching paint dry. It's horrible at first until you see the results, and then you're like, I'll count to 12 all day long. So I'd cast it out.
You count to 12.
I count to 12.
Foot per second.
I'd count to 12 to 14. I don't count to 13, so that's bad luck, so I didn't do that. So I'd hit either 12 or 14, and I'd try to play with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to be 12, so I'd make really long casts, and then you just – I'd stayed hydrated because I'd take a drink.
I'd just
be counting in my head, like, God, hurry up and get down there, hurry up. And then engage, and just a slow – but you want that bait, and it just kind of walks through the water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a visual, and smallmouth are, you know, a very visual and very they're curious. I mean, I've done a show with Kim Stricker, and he dives, you know, and mm-hmm. looks around, and they'll come up to him because they're just curious. What is this guy doing? Like, right. What is this? And he'll roll over rocks and throw bait up, but they want to check it out. Well, when they check this out, they're like, oh, that's food. I'm gonna eat it, and it's out of the pack. It's, you know, it's all by itself, and it's dynamite.
And we talked about that too. You know, it's so nonchalant when it's out there. It's just almost static.
Yeah.
And so that kind of catches them for a little bit, but once they get up close to it, or you're bringing it into them, then you have some turbidity going on. The soft turbidity, we call it soft signature, and then we also have this little bit of more hyperlisting that takes place. So they get a new stimulus when they get closer to the bait, and I think that helps make the commitment.
Hyperlisting. Did you hear that, BTC?
Yeah, dude,
this is high tech stuff.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Right now. I blacked out. What was that? Well, that's why we have him doing all this. I just want to throw it out there and wind it in.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, speaking of that, that's a critical component we haven't talked about. Line and the reel that you were using, especially with respect to the diameter of the spool, how much line you pulling in. What were you using?
I was using 10-pound braid and with an 8-pound fluorocarbon leader.
No kidding.
And it's pretty simple, basic.
How long a leader?
It's 10, 12 feet. I mean,
okay.
It's a visual, but it's not like you're dragging on the bottom and they're deciding whether. Once they come up, I think they're committed. Once they see it and they kind of get excited, they're not looking at, you know, I probably could have got away with 10, but 8 casts, really good. I mean, that was just my setup. And
see, that a lot of what we've started, guys are using 4-pound, 2.5, 1.25 pounds.
That's necessary.
Yeah.
The real light line. So you were using 8-pound.
And it's clear. St. Clair's a clear body of water, but they're pretty aggressive. And it's something. It's a moving bait. It's like a spinner bait. Well, I throw it on 17 because it's going through the water, and they're not really getting a chance to, like, when they get up there, they've already committed. They're going to get it.
Yep.
So 8 pounds, you can't break 8 if you got a soft tip and a 7.6, you're just not going
to
break
it. Well, that braid is huge for you with your 7.5-foot rod and being able to keep
super
pressure on these fish. Super long cast.
Yep.
That's a big factor.
And it's not, I don't even set the hook. You just you reel into them. And their weight alone, because you don't want to, it doesn't have big hooks. That's, you know. But their weight alone and the rod just leaning into and reeling into them, the pressure of it will get, you know.
Right.
They're going to turn away from you and it'll pull into them. You don't want to pull the hooks out. It's kind of like when you heard about crankbaiting. Oh, you got to have a glass rod because you don't want to rip those. Same kind of concept right? Yeah.
Sure.
You just reel into them, load it up.
It is a crankbait.
Yeah, basically. It's a hard, you know, hard bait.
A 2,500, 3,000, 4,000 size reel.
What it's 3,000.
3,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had the bigger one I had for my Marabou jig I caught a few on. But that's I had an 8.5-foot rod for that. I could just make really long casts.
Okay.
And but this was the key. I only caught two that I weighed in on that. But I fished all week the conditions. Whatever the lake told me what to do, that's what I did. And luckily, there was enough windows for the spy bait. Because I just had to wait. And when the weather presented itself, I knew my big fish are going to come on this. But the day three, I didn't have that opportunity. It blew all day. It was kind of rough. The overcast. Mm-hmm. I needed sun and slick.
Sun and slick.
Yeah.
And when it get, but the with the wind, that didn't happen. Do you suppose the fish planted down on the bottom got more aggressive, or what do you think?
They were on the bottom the whole time because I could see on my graph where they would come up. But I think all the light when the sun's up and you're looking up, say you're in a pool and there's a bunch of waves, there's all these lights that are, you know, splashing back and forth coming through from the sun.
Right.
Well, if you're looking at this little bait and you're throwing it and it's 12 feet and they're down in 19, well, all those reflections and stuff, it's kind of hard to pick it up.
Right.
So I don't think they were seeing it when it's really, really rough, because it was sunny every day, which is good for smallmouth fishing. They love sun, so because they're a visual predator. Well, when there's all that reflection and stuff, I don't think they were picking it up, so I wasn't getting there. You might catch one or two, but when it got slick, it was like, this is it.
It was the deal.
Yeah. Pete, he brings up a good point. And some of the research we do was seeing what colors or what shapes or what profiles can be seen at what depths. And so when you do have this transparency where the sun is actually hitting a plane and then the light can penetrate, well, those fish now can pick out those tiny little bait fish that may be just above a weed line or not. But if the surface is broken up, then it kind of camouflages them. You've got movement and they get caught in line, so they don't, you don't necessarily see them as easy. And so I think he brings up a really good point.
Yeah, well, that is a good point, and it's really neat, because what we do a lot, and I'm sure you've learned this too, when it gets slick, a lot of times that's a topwater scenario for smallmouth.
Or a lot of guys will pick up their drop shot because it's going to get tough, right. Or, you know.
And it's like the drop shot is not the – you want to get aggressive or you know, powerful a lot of times when that happens.
But a lot of guys will go the opposite way, because I've talked to a lot of guys that fished the tournament, and they're like, oh, when it got slick, it really got tough. I picked up my drop shot and just kind of fished really slow and tried to, you know, make them bite. Nah, that's when you want to power fish almost up there, you know.
Well, here's the deal. Seth Fider and was here yesterday, and me, and why can't me or Seth catch a fish on a spy bait?
Well, we just arranged a guide trip via Chad.
Here's the deal. I have caught fish with it, and I'm still learning it. I'm always the last guy to the party. I had Senkos in my boat for 5 years before I threw them. Chatter baits. Yeah. I've had spy baits forever, and I keep. I just, you know, it takes me long, but then light when hammer. I get there, I'm real happy.
Light bulb comes
out. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of guys watching, never threw a spy bait. It's their first time looking at it. Is there a quick tip to maybe help them get bit that you guys can offer?
Well, I would say, like you said, you had chatter baits, and you had them in your boat, but you never gave them a chance.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just when the conditions are right, if it's, you know, not super windy and you got a clear body of water you're fishing, just try it. I mean, and try different, like we were talking, like I counted it down to 12. If you're in 19 feet or 18, let it hit the bottom and then try it. I mean, try different zones and see what works, but give it a chance. That's the problem. Some guys will throw, I know Chad won that tournament on it, but God, this is dumb. I'm gonna throw what I've caught him on in the past, but you got it. Fishing is always evolving. There's always something new. If you're fishing, you know, 2000 late, that's it. You're fishing old stuff, and this tournament's over. So I mean, guys are congratulating me, but I'm on to the cup. I'm already done. Like, that's old stuff. So let's stop talking about that. But you always have to be thinking about new stuff and new baits and new. And I'm sure Duo's got some new baits coming out that, you know, we haven't even seen yet. That's going to be even better than spy bait, which is hard to believe. But
well, I just saw one that looked like it might work.
Well, that's for muskie
at Wachita.
yeah, that's for muskie.
That's muskie. Yeah, that's muskie. Now, is this what brand rod are
you
using?
St. Croix, and that's, you know, that's what I was telling you about. A lot of guys will say, "Oh, I get bites on it, but I lose them." But you got to be throwing the right equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to set yourself up for success. And if you're just throwing, guys will ask me, "Why do you have 40 or 50 rods with you?" Well, I explain it to them like, when you go golfing, do you tee off with your putter? You have more than one club, right?
Yep.
They all have a reason. They all have a purpose. They all have a
absolutely
length. They all have a tip. This rod, 7.6 medium light, I had it all year. I never threw it. All year. Carried it with me. But when I got to St. Clair, it's like,
there it is.
That's why I'm carrying it.
Now's the time.
Yep. And I got off the bench and got to time.
A good tip too. The equipment is really important. I've always said that you can at least get by with a drop shot rod, you know. But if you're running a 6.2 drop shot rod and you really have an opportunity to get this 7.6 medium, like, you're now starting to move into the echelon of managing the fish better. And that whole rubber band effect, I think we talked about it before, Pete, too. Keeping the rod incorporated. I always say that the tip, you want the tip to grab that line and get bent so that those fish stay tensioned. And then that's going to help. The fish shakes his head. There's still tension.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The fish runs. There's still tension. He
and
jumps.
With a stiff rod, you don't get that. They have leverage.
The line pops,
yeah.
Right? So I think that's really important. And the other couple tips I can give guys, I went out with a couple pro anglers, and they were casting, for example, I'll just use this is your hump. They were casting onto the hump. If I can use the hump as an example, They were casting onto the hump instead of casting
beyond it,
40 feet beyond it. Mm. Why? Because if you get 40 feet beyond it, then you get everything lined up as you come into this area. And a lot of guys are coming here, and then as they start to incorporate the reel, then they start to pull away from that hump. Right. So you're looking at quite a bit of distance, right, if you're 8 feet over the hump, that you've already moved out off that zone. So some guys, it was just tweaking them a little bit. And as far as getting the cast there, getting yourself set up first before you get there. And then the other thing I've been doing with some of the pro anglers, because a lot of guys just, they won't sit and do it for a long time. So I'm saying to them,
yeah, they're impatient.
Right. It's a big fish technique. We all know that now. We've been saying it for like 5 years. It's a big fish technique. Okay, we got that. So now I'm telling guys, well, before you leave your spot, let's say you're sitting there burning a crankbait through there and you just feel like there's fish here. Gosh, there should be fish here. Pick up the spinbait and throw it. Throw it twice. And I call it splitting the difference. You've got 20 feet. You're going to throw it, let it sink down to 10, 12 feet, and run that zone. Mm-hmm. Then the next cast, throw it and let it come off inches off the bottom. At least you make two casts in that zone and you've covered the water pretty good, that those fish have an opportunity. And then get up and go.
They're probably not going to get up and go because they'll probably catch one.
But it is. I was just talking to some of the pros. You know, it's there is an aha moment. There's been hundreds of thousands of dollars. I only interviewed, I think, 22 pros confidentially that have talked about cash and checks. I know there's a bunch of others, but we're in hundreds of thousands of dollars that these guys have won.
That's it.
Well, I know 125 that I got in my bank account.
Me and you are gonna work with the spy bait this year. We're gonna catch our spy bait fish this year.
Smallmouth king, anyway. Come on, you gotta be fine.
I'm going to Champlain next month. I'm gonna.
You think it might work?
Yeah, I believe I'll be.
You know what? You know what? Where it doesn't work is when it's in your rod locker.
Rod locker.
Yeah, it won't work
with my chatterbait and Senko.
Hey, did you catch any on spy bait? Did you catch any on spy bait? Well, I didn't throw it. Well, you can't catch it when you don't.
No,
throw it.
I didn't. Well, hey, speaking of rods, St. Croix won best in show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's congrats.
Well, they should. I mean, they're made in America.
Yeah,
they're a family company. I'm proud to be with them. They're a great rod. I've had them for 5 years. I've still never broke one. Yeah. I haven't even shut one in a car door. Normally, I do that a couple times a year.
Yeah.
But they're. I mean, they helped me win that tournament. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, are you familiar with the rod that won Best in Show?
No, I haven't went over there and talked to him. I heard it was yesterday afternoon. So, okay. But I did hear that they did win. Okay. I just haven't got the skinny yet.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to head over.
We're going to try to get that rod over here so we can look at it.
But maybe I'll be back and talk about that.
That sounds good. But you got this big win. You know how key momentum is in the sport, and you're heading to the big dance.
Yep.
What do you think?
Wachita.
Yeah, you've been there before?
Yeah, I've been there a few times. I've been around the block. There isn't very many lakes that I haven't been to in the country that all our circuits go to. But I don't really have any expectations. I'm going to just work as hard as I can. And, I haven't – this has all been a big whirlwind. And then the ICAST is coming up. I haven't really sat down and got to think about what I'm going to do yet. We're still a couple weeks out.
Right.
But I have no expectations. I'm just going to keep an open mind and do what I've been doing the last four. Like this beginning of the season wasn't very good for me, and then I started getting in my groove, and like the last four tournaments have been better, 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 better. And then I win, and so hopefully I can carry that in and just fish comfortably. Fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys saw it on FLW Live, I was having a ball.
You were relaxed.
Yeah.
Just easy.
I'm going to catch them.
Yeah.
Whether I win or not. Yeah, whatever. I'm still having fun.
Yeah.
And the last couple of years, I haven't really had very much fun fishing. And it wasn't me. Like, I'm a dude that likes to have fun and have a good time no matter what I do. And that's the whole reason I fish. Because, for one, I love the sport. And I love all the guys and all that. But I like to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can enjoy what you're doing and have fun, life's good, you know?
Well, it's easy to have fun when you're catching 100 pounds
well,
of smallmouth.
Yeah, but that happens you know. because I was relaxed and comfortable
do you think?
With what I'm
it's
doing.
Like which came for, there was yeah. somebody real pissed off that had 12 pounds that same day.
I tell you what, but they probably caught 30 to catch that 12 pounds, and they had a good time.
I felt that was key, you know, in winning tournaments is one thing I discovered that you've got to let it come to you.
Yep.
If you try to force it.
That's right, and that's what I did the last 2 years.
Up yeah. doing bad. You
yep.
know, breaking off, losing fish.
Yep. And I lost a couple in that tournament, and I've just looked at my camera guy, and I'm like, some guys would be breaking rods over their knee. I'll get another one.
Yeah.
Let's tie another one on. We'll, you know, I'm just, whatever happens, it's you know, I always, it's, whatever happens, is it's meant yeah. to happen.
Well, and I agree with you, but one thing we didn't talk about, what's the habitat? What in the heck were you fishing?
It was
grass clumps, sand spots?
Both.
Or, yeah.
And I found it. I was up a little bit shallower because typically that time of year I'll catch them between 14 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't realize the lake was 2 feet high. When I went to the ramp, like I put in at different ramps that I'd never put in before. And when I went to the ramp where the launch was going out of where I've been to 100 times, I'm like, man, the dock's almost underwater. It's yeah. a permanent dock. And I'm like, God, this. It's like 2 feet high. No wonder they're 19 instead mm-hmm. of 17. I mean, they don't know it went up 2 feet.
Yep.
But it's, I was running across and my Garmin started having a little, you know, I'm like, that's grass. And I spun around and I threw a tube like three times and I caught like a 3.5 pounder. Then I caught a 4 pounder. Then I caught, you know, and I started milling around. Then I just kind of expand on it. And I'm like, well, these aren't going to win. And then I went back the
that's
last
made something.
Three
yeah.
And
that
four pounders.
Yeah, they're, and
these
they're
are
not,
little
and
ones.
I knew that. And, but I went back the last day of practice, and I'm like, I'm going to learn this. And I milled around, and I caught like a 6, and then I caught a 5, and I'm putting waypoints on it. And then throughout the tournament, I learned more about my area, the sand spots and the grass clumps and where I'm getting bites, and I would mark where I'd get a bite, multiple bites. The co-angler and I, we'd double up lots of times, and then we'd go a little stretch, and nothing. I'd turn back around. We'd go over the, and that's where the bait was. So the a lot of the key was bait, and the bait was relating to the grass, and the bass were relating hiding in the grass or the sand spots. You know how
and
small
ambushing, yeah.
So the big key was the bait.
Emerald but, shiners, yep. perch.
I think everything.
Yeah.
There was gobies. There was perch.
Yeah.
Well, I would catch a smallmouth and puke up a perch that big.
Yeah.
And you know, it just all kinds of bait and everything that they want. Oh, the only thing a bass does is spawn and eat.
Yep.
That's their two things in life to do.
Mm-hmm.
And where they find where the bait is. And luckily I collided with everything where there's grass, sand, bait, and giant smallmouth.
Wow.
So, and it was a lot of fun.
Anybody else find it with you?
The guys that got second and third were about a half mile from me. I could see them.
No kidding.
But they left the first day of the tournament in the afternoon. I'm like, there's nobody here. I've got 26 pounds in the well. And there's no
all
one
all by yourself.
Yeah. And I was with a local guy that had fished St. Clair, and he said, I've never seen the South Shore. This, like, no one's here. Well, they had caught their 22 pounds and left.
And figuring that was good.
Yeah, it might be pretty good, but it's, you know what's good? No, it's better than 22 pounds? 26 pounds.
Now, were you catching 26 pounds? Did you call 5 pounders?
The first day... My smallest one was 4.10.
Wow.
So I got rid of a 4.8 for a 4.10.
You heard that, right?
Yeah.
You heard that.
So I'm getting rid of 4.5 pounders.
On the balance beam, 2, 4.5, 4.75.
Yeah. Get rid of that one.
And chucking the little one.
Chuckling kind of to myself.
Like, I'm chuckling now. Now, this is a big question. A lot of guys fish tournaments. How did you know to stay? Like, the other guys, they caught 22 and left. You bear down on your fish
a little bit.
What made you do that? Did you think you could get to 26 pounds?
I didn't think I had 26.
Okay.
I mean, I weighed everything, but then when you're fishing, like running back, I'm like, I got a pretty good little stringer in here. You know?
Did you like catch a 4 pounder and be like, oh, I can't use that one?
A lot. That's why we left in the afternoon.
Okay.
We were both catching 4.8, 4.6, and I'm like, this is crazy, dude. And we're laughing. We're like have doubles of 4.5 pounders, and he had 24, like my guy in the back of the boat. And we got almost 50 pounds of smallmouth
wow.
in the well, and we're high-fiving and having fun, and it's like no one's around. I'm like, we better quit catching these fish.
Yeah, we're done with the tournament.
It's hard, you know. I knew I, but I've been on that lake 100 times and fished a bunch of tournaments. The population is so incredible there. I didn't think, like, the third day I was thinking, well, maybe I did run up. Maybe I caught them all. But then I just moved about 500 yards, and there's another giant wolf pack of 4.5 to 5.5
It's got a great smallmouth lake in the country.
Oh, yeah. And anywhere. You guys are fishing in 4 or 5 feet and out in the middle of the lake.
Wow.
Just from one extreme to the other. And you can catch them anywhere.
And Dobson was running up the Huron just about, dragging in the river.
Yeah.
You know, for
the whole system. And not only that, muskie, walleye, perch, you know, largemouth. The population of largemouth is huge there.
But, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up. I didn't hear any chatter about guys running to Lake Erie in this derby.
I didn't. I mean, I don't.
Did anybody in the cut go?
I don't think so. But I don't talk to a lot of guys. I mean, I room with Thrift and JT, and it's.
That must be a pain in the ass.
Well, with JT it is a little bit. But Thrift's more all business, you know. But I don't really talk to anybody outside that. Mm-hmm. Circle, and we kind of powwow a little bit, like, hey, you know what, you know, do this. And then when the tournament started, I actually didn't catch them. It was rough all week in practice, and I threw the spy bait a little bit, but why I was successful is I fished what the weather let me fish. You know what I mean? And throughout the tournament I learned when to throw a tube, when to throw a drop shot, when to throw the spy bait, when to throw the baraboo jig. And I just let the weather predict what I was going to throw or how I was going to catch them.
Right, they do change. You see, a lot of people think smallmouth move, and it's been my experience, like you just said, it's more of a mood change.
Yeah,
you think they moved because they won't hit your drop shot anymore.
The guys,
but they didn't move. They want a spy bait, or they're going to react to something else.
See, the guys that were up, Brad Knight said that on stage. They would move around every day, and you'd have to find them. I don't think they moved. I mean, they may move a little bit, but they're in that area. You just got to figure out. There's certain windows. There's windows when they'll bite and when they won't bite.
Right.
You know? And that's, he probably just hit the windows, whatever. But they didn't have this in their arsenal.
That's right.
So, I mean, they said when I came in, they're like, yeah, I heard a lot of screaming down there. I go, I didn't hear any from your direction. So, and man, that's because they didn't have this little guy right here.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome. We've been talking about it now for 2 years. For crying out loud,
I'm throwing it. Yeah.
BTC, when it gets calm,
we're throwing it.
You better call me.
Brian,
say, dude, the wind's calm, throw the spy bait.
That's right.
I'm throwing it.
Yeah. Lock him down, dude.
We're going to lock him down.
Yeah. Dude, you know what? This might work on the Chesapeake. As clear as the water gets in some places.
You're not going to get these, so I'm taking these with me.
Oh, wait. You got to tell them about the rule.
Yeah, I told them the rule.
Hey, rules are made to be broken.
We'll sneak you something.
Well, hey, I know a guy. I'll get you something.
Well, I appreciate it. And, hey, man, congratulations again on your big win.
Thanks, man.
It was awesome to watch.
Yeah.
And
I wish you best of luck
down there at Wachita, buddy.
Yeah. Hopefully I can hold up the big check down there.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Let's do that.
I'm going to fish relaxed and comfortable and just...
You're in the exact place you need to be to win a tournament like that.
Well,
yeah. I'll pick you on my fantasy fishing
team. Don't do that.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much for all the insight and bringing the great stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
And certainly next year at ICAST, we look forward to all the new stuff. And everybody that's watching at home, if you've not subscribed to Bass University TV, subscribe right now, bassu.tv. We're actually giving away the baits, the Z-Man baits that that MDJ just used to win the Elite.
We're not giving these away.
For all new subscribers. we're going to talk to Dave about giving away some of those for next month.
No.
But hey, come on over and subscribe. You can instant message us questions.
Don't tell anybody.
And all the great stuff. And maybe we'll have Chad speaking with us in 2019.
Yeah.
We'd like that. I'll make sure Justin gets in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Especially maybe it'd be a great smallmouth seminar teaching guys how to adjust different phases of smallmouth fishing.
I don't like to give out my secrets, but for you, I might.
Well, I appreciate that, and our guys would appreciate it. And thank you guys for watching. We're going to be right back in just a few minutes with more great stuff, some great ICAST winners. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Pete Gluzek, Bass University TV Live.